Welcome, dear listeners, to this week's Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. We're extremely sorry about that little technical glitch we had just when Bishu was concluding his bhajan tutor. Now we have things sorted out and we are ready to go for this week's episode where we study Swami's discourses. The 1990 Samukul series is what we're going through. And as always, I have the pleasure of co-hosting this show with Brother Sai Prakash of Team Radio Sai, and we continue to have the company of Sri Rangarajan sir, controller of Sri Sathya Sai University. And on behalf of both of them and on behalf of all our listeners, we offer our most humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet before getting into this program. Sai Ram Sai Prakash and Sai Ram sir, thank you for accepting our invitation and being here once again. Last week, we got to play only one clip of that discourse, but I think it's criminal to call it one clip because there was so much in that one 10-minute portion of that discourse. It really took us much more than that to even make sense of what Swami told, because it was so profound, and a series of important statements one after the other Swami made in that discourse.
You know, I recall what one devotee mentioned when he asked Swami, it's so difficult to follow all your messages, so what should we really do? And Swami gave one of his very nice way of putting it. Swami said, just follow one message of mine, Adi Chalu. Automatically, everything else will fall in line. So, like that, even one excerpt from Bhagwan's discourse actually sums up everything that he mentions in all discourses. So, that's the point.
Nevertheless, I think, once when we were discussing, we thought, the thing is, God is omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient. Then why did Krishna choose so many ways of killing one asura? Why killing of one asura was so different from killing of the other asura? Why transformation of one individual was so different from the transformation of the other individual? Mm. And it's only because, if not for that, we wouldn't have this opportunity to talk about it so much. And I think that is why Swami is giving us so many different variants of that same message, so that we can...
Because it caters to different mindsets, Absolutely. Different people have different temperaments and... So each one appeals to the other. Though the underlying message remains the same, it appeals to them in different ways.
You know, it's like somebody was telling, when you go for a marriage, why is it that they keep so many items? Why is it they keep different items? And there is no one person who can sit and have all the items. Then it was explained that there are some people who may like something more hot. Some people may like something sweet. They may not like too much salt. So, some may like items of different taste. So, to keep everybody happy, they have served all the dishes. But just thinking of what Swami was speaking last week, we have been doing this series, and from discourse 2 onwards, he has been systematically breaking all our illusions of you are not this body, you are not the senses, you are not the mind, you are not the buddhi, you are not the ahankara. And, it's building. And say, Swami, what should I do? I am not this, I am not that. Yes, I am not this, so I will not do this. I am not this, I will not do that. In fact, when he was speaking of the mind, he was actually saying, if you do something, then you're giving it more strength. And then, so we were all along, you're not the mind, go beyond the mind. You're not the buddhi, go beyond. Swami, what is it that we should finally do? And in this chapter, Swami says, you have to do nothing.
Exactly. That was like an anti-climax, right?
That's like, I'm so tempted to recollect that beautiful way in which it's depicted in that movie, Kung Fu Panda. There's this dragon scroll, there's this dragon scroll, and so much is being spoken about it, and you have to fight and win that dragon scroll. Finally, when he opens the dragon scroll, it's nothing.
Right.
It's nothing, and he sees himself inside. He sees his own reflection in the dragon scroll. I mean, something of immense power is latent within you.
Somehow our mind is so convinced to this aspect of doing something. We always feel we have to achieve something, do something.
Yeah.
But Swami takes us to the spiritual truth, which is actually beyond doing, and it's just being. The being itself is so tough, and therefore we get lost in all the doing.
Mm. Again, as we mentioned it several times in the show, Swami himself has said in the Gita, Name Parthasti Kartavyam Trishu Lokeshu Kinchana, I am not bound by any duty in all the three worlds, yet I choose to act so that I may set an example to people.
In fact, I recall a very humorous episode. Mm-hmm. This was one of the celebrations in the Shanti Vedika Stadium. Mm-hmm. So Swami was seated on the stage. And I believe that just when all the guests walked in and sat on the chair, somehow a stray dog came in. Mm-hmm. Though they take a lot of effort to make sure during festivities dogs do not come in, there was a stray dog which was running on the main road in front of the stage. And as dogs normally do, it was panting and, you know, running from one end to the other end. So Swami, Swami picks up these small things to convey great messages. So he kept looking at this dog and he told all the seniors, elderly devotees next to him, he said, look at this dog, it's running as though it's going for some board meeting. So naturally there was, the laughter, like we are laughing now, they all laughed and thinking, oh, course Swami is just joking. And then Swami paused, he turned to all of them and he said, all of you are like that. You're running around doing things as though, some very important meeting is there, as though you're achieving great things. Mm-hmm. Swami said, in my opinion, all that is waste of time. It was such a profound message, which he meant to say that what we think is pursuit and achieving and all that, from a spiritual perspective, Swami is saying that is not really what you should be focusing on. I think that's what he's driving even in this discourse, that all this is only strengthening your mind, and which itself the very objective is to shatter the mind, and we are strengthening it.
Just talking about that stray dog, I remember another incident which one of our lecturers once shared with us. Apparently, Swami had given him a particular important duty during the sports meet time. Mm-hmm. So every now and then he had to go and report to Swami what was the progress and, what is happening, have all the campuses come and have they started. So he was understandably very busy during that period. And those were the days when there were no cell phones and you were not a moving, communicable, device by yourself. So one fine day, Swami came out and in the afternoon, Swami said, where is this person? Mm-hmm. And they were running from the hostel to the university, to the ground, to all the places, they couldn't find him. Mm-hmm. Apparently, he was in the tool room getting something sorted out. So by the time he was found and the message was passed on to him and he came to Swami, 1 hour had passed.
Oh my God.
And you can imagine, the anger Swami would have put up. And, pretended as though how angry he was. Mm. So Swami called him inside the interview room. Mm. And Swami was very cold, didn't smile. And the first thing Swami asked was, have you ever seen a stray dog?
Oh, really?
So the conversation starts like this, have you ever seen a stray dog? And that's what I was telling, that immediately he understood that he was in for something. Okay, he said, yes, Swami, I've seen. Mm. And then Swami said, see, when it is walking on the road, its eye will be focused somewhere, okay, and it's as though it's determined to do something and it's going somewhere. At that time, you try calling it and, try pulling it yourself. It will not even have time to look at you. As though it's so busy, it will keep going. And Swami said, when I look at all of you, that's what it appears to me as. And Swami said, here I am doing everything. Mm. I have all the time for all of you. But you don't have time for me.
I think we can never stop wondering at the fact that if you were to, sorry to use this phrase, but put yourself in Bhagwan's shoes, how did he manage all the institutions, all the organizations that he ran? And still when he would talk to us in the mandir, it was like he had all the time for us, so free, no stress, no tension. I mean, God is beyond all that, but at a human level, you can never stop wondering at that beautiful experience.
But in this juncture, I remember what Swami told one of our seniors. Mm-hmm. He said, Swami, how are you managing all this? You're doing so much and how much you must be doing all this, how much of sankalpa, what? He said, I had made only one sankalpa. That is to come down on earth.
rest of it just happens.
Rest of it just happens. Only sankalpa I made was to come down on earth. That's it.
Talking of this doership, I often used to recall something from my childhood, when we were very small. Some of my elderly cousins or uncles, they would take us on this bike ride. They would just pull you up and put you on that petrol tank in front, and they would drive the bike. And we as little children would stretch out and hold those, the handlebar as though we were driving the bike. And if anybody were to see my face, during such a situation, I will be as though the tension of maneuvering through the you know, traffic was all on me. Mm-hmm. You could see my face contorting and, you know, that really feeling like the one who's the hero of the scene like mm-hmm. that. But the uncle who's actually driving, he'll have no tension on his face. He'll come. And this is a scene which should always come to my mind when I used to see some students speaking in front of Swami. I used to think, see this fellow, I mean, not that putting that person down, but I used to think that, see the tension on that person's face. You know, see that legs wobbling. But the one who's actually speaking is sitting beside and smiling and calmly sitting. Coming to the discourse. Right. As we said, a lot of beautiful, profound points that Swami was making. And of course, one of those was the futility of all sadhana which we do.
Mm-hmm.
No, Swami said, at best, they could be called as acts which give you self-satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you do is to find some kind of satisfaction that you are doing something.
See, but at the same time, we have heard Bhagwan in various discourses stressing so much on the 9 forms of devotion and all these various aspects of sadhana. So I think the correct spirit in which we should take it is all this, no doubt, is essential. Mm-hmm. Because if we were to rule it away, then, you know, every person would say, fine, I don't need to do anything at all. But to come somewhere, at least, this is essential. But I think what Swami is again and again driving at is, this is necessary but not sufficient.
Right.
This is not the end. I mean, don't think we have arrived and there's nothing mm-hmm. more to it. And he clearly says this is only preparing the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps that's the, at best, it's preparing the mind to start on the journey of spirituality. So to that extent, it has its utility.
Mm.
But we should not overstretch its, you know, requirement.
Typically, if you look at the Brahma Sutra, it starts with that Atatho Brahma Jignasa, which means henceforth you will seek the Brahman.
Mm-hmm.
So, which means before that what? Before that, all this samadhama, the mind control, sense
exactly.
control, Swami talks of comes. So, which means to start the quest, you should have gone through all that purificatory processes,
exactly.
which includes all steadying the mind, devotion, and giving up desires, everything else. And after that, you're prepared. No.
The biggest challenge, as Swami says, is the mind is so tempted to the outward trend. Now, basically, its inclination is always to go outward. And the world itself is created so beautiful by God.
Mm.
You know, it's so tough. He does this, creates a beautiful world, and he says, don't get attracted by it. So it's a real challenge.
Mm.
So for the mind to put a brake, change the direction, and then turn 180 degrees opposite and turn inwards, I think is the biggest challenge for any human being. And that's what Swami is helping us in through these discourses.
Correct. But it's like, this discourse is like an advanced training course. And if somebody were to listen to this discourse without listening to the previous discourses, they would say, wow, I don't need to do anything. But what I really felt when I was hearing the clip last week, yes, what you said is absolutely right, that what we thought of as sadhana is essential but not enough. Or is not the be-all of and end-all of everything. But what I think is, if you were to pursue the same sadhana today, with the knowledge of what Swami is saying here,
makes
all the difference. And today I can sit and I can be devoted and I can, in fact, very frankly, within me there is growing a very, very deep respect for everything that I see now.
True.
No, because when I see something in front of me and I say, yes, this is also a form of God and this is also God. And I think that kind of awareness that God is the one who is controlling everything. And so you can do sadhana, you can, you know, spend your time fruitfully. But knowing this in the background, when we start doing something, I think that makes a lot of difference. What do you say?
Yeah, exactly. No, it's the word itself, spiritual. You know, I recall Professor Anil Kumar had once split it up this way. He said, if you remove the spirit, all that you do is only a ritual.
Wow.
And that is what Swami is actually condemning. He said, that is what has become today in Kali age. All have become rituals and we become so fussy about, you know, putting a, you know, let us say a particular ritual, a little bit this side, a little bit that side, and they say, oh my God, this is not to be done this way. But we forget the spirit in it. So you add the spirit to the ritual, it is spiritual. And in all his discourses, that is what Swami has been doing. He has explained to us the inner significance of every festival, the inner significance of every ritual. So as Prakash rightly said, if we were to do it with that understanding, then definitely we have transcended, you know, the gross sadhana that Swami is talking about here. Then it takes a new meaning.
Yeah, Swami has also said that if you take the medicine, keeping full faith in the doctor, right, you need not know its components.
Exactly.
You automatically you get cured. Yes, by doing sadhana and by doing seva and by doing these practices, it takes its own time and you grow. But if you know the ultimate purpose and then you start doing the sadhana, I think that
is a different game altogether.
That's a totally different game. And
typically, even when we went through that discourse where Swami is talking about the body, one point which Swami was making very categorically was, you all are taking care of your body.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that you need to be told to take care of your body. But the reason why you take care of the body should be this.
Exactly.
That it is a temple, that it is an instrument, that these are the rules
Swami
which govern.
Always gives that tweak, you know. He just tweaks a little and then suddenly it gains so much of different significance.
Exactly. Another thing which I remember is in a discourse where Swami was telling about giving up Dehabhimanam. Swami is saying giving up the body attachment. And Swami was talking about it at length and he said, what is there? If you want to give up Dehabhimanam, take one peg, it will go off. He's saying one small glass of wine and Dehabhimanam will go off. Swami is saying that is not important.
Yeah.
That alone is not important. Even as you give up Dehabhimanam, you have to develop Atmabhimanam.
Exactly.
And if you look at it, all sadhana is actually helping you only give up Dehabhimanam.
Right.
But even as you do that, to attach yourself to the Atma, I think you have to know yourself. And that's what Swami is saying, that, you know, understand this and give up, control your mind and control your body.
Very beautiful.
Yeah. This is only one half of it,
right?
Whereas the other half is generally ignored.
Mm.
That is why, you know, today we find so many people caught up in all this worship and rituals, and the same individual, you know, when they come out of the puja room or the temple, you suddenly assume a totally different form of behavior and they couldn't care less for the people around them. So this sort of dichotomy comes only because perhaps you've not understood the spirit behind it. Or as you said, yeah, putting in an effort to reduce Dehabhimanam but have no clue about what Atmabhimanam is.
It's almost like this morning Arvind was sharing, there's a person giving a spiritual discourse and he's talking about the virtue of selflessness. And he says actually when you become selfless, that is when you can become the right, you can achieve things in a much better manner even in the worldly sense. So the discourse is over and one of the person who's listening, he comes up and asks, so sir, if I start becoming selfless from tomorrow, when will I become an overachiever?
Right.
You know, your idea of becoming selfless is to become more selfish. And I think throughout, you know, that is a beautiful thing. And even what Sai Prakash was saying, and even I was telling him this morning, you know, the idea with which you look at your body now is so different.
Mm.
Now you're saying that, you know, I cannot do away with anything with this body. Because this body is not mine. You know, that is the thing which very strongly Swami has put forth in these discourses.
One thing he has grilled in all of us because we have been here for so many years is somehow the conviction that yes, we are just an instrument of Swami becomes so part of a DNA. You know, even when we interact with students, anything they do, they get a good grade in exam, we go and congratulate them, they say, no, this is all Swami's grace. They do a good performance in sports meet and somebody goes and tells them it's very nice, this is all Swami's grace.
Correct.
So automatically, you know, Swami has done something so wonderful that Swami's grace, divine grace has become part of our, you know, very DNA. Now we know that without that, mere human effort means nothing.
Well, I think the only thing is, we tend to attribute things to Swami's grace when everything goes positive.
Oh yes.
That is something we do in typically like one of our teachers was once sharing, Dr. Sitaramaya, one of the first chief of our general hospital, he would go and every day report to Swami the state of the patients who have been admitted in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And he would say, Swami, by your grace, this lady has delivered her baby. By your grace, this person is well and he's gone back. By your grace, so and so has passed away today. You know, and it was always a, you know, a prelude to whatever he would say. I mean, with your grace, this has happened.
Mm.
And absolutely believing that good or bad, as we see it, it's still Swami's grace.
Very true.
Mm. I think that is something which Swami will put each one of us individually through.
Right.
Where we are able to see that what is unpleasant and what is negative also in the long run becomes positive and something we should learn from. I think one of the most beautiful statements, at least in this, as I see it, is this where Swami is saying it is important to recognize that as long as the mind is there, desire will not leave you.
Mm.
As long as you have desires, the false notion of I and mine will not leave you.
Correct.
And I think one of the most practical messages which Swami has given, and has given a lot of emphasis on, is ceiling on desires.
Hmm.
It's looking at this, Swami is telling that it has the ability to take you to the ultimate, actually. Though we look at it as a disciplining program or a program where you limit your needs, but actually it is absolutely spiritual in its essence.
True.
Correct.
And what struck to me most in the clip we heard last time was, Swami ends saying two things. The root cause analysis Swami does is so wonderful. he points out two things, kartritva and bhoktritva. He says the feeling that I am doing and so I am experiencing. He says these are the root causes of all the problems that you're having in this world. And here I'm reminded of this beautiful, again it's a story all of us have heard, of this bird which was sitting on a branch, and this man is watching, and there's a storm, and the storm is getting more and more fierce, but he's surprised that this bird is so calm sitting on the branch, and then he gets a little curious, how come, it's not getting frightened or anything like that, and so he decides to watch, and then he watches, and the storm is becoming more fierce, branches are breaking, the leaves are just blowing away, but this bird is just sitting. Then he wonders what happens if that branch breaks. And just as he thinks that branch sort of creaks, is breaking, and instantly the bird flies away. And then the beautiful message from that is that all the time the bird was not depending on the branch. It was depending on its wings. That is the difference. No? Swami says, don't depend on your body or your mind. Don't focus on that. Because then you will be in fear. Oh my God, what will happen next moment? Tomorrow will I live? Day after tomorrow, what will happen? He says, focus on the self. That's what he's been saying. You focus on the higher self, which is God within. Then it's like the bird. Any moment there is any problem, you can fly away. That is go within. You can go within, and then everything else becomes inconsequential. So I just loved that last part where Swami says, give up the sense of doership. Not that you have to give up doing.
Right.
Give up the sense of doership. Not that you have to give up experiencing the outcomes of your actions. But give up the feeling that you are experiencing.
Something I just heard a couple of days back. There were a monk from the Chinmaya order. He was saying that his master was conducting a meditation for all the disciples who had assembled.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the disciples came up and said, "Master, today we enjoyed meditation a lot. Bahut maza aaya, Master," he said. And the guru got so wild. He said, "Is this some rasagula or gulab jamun?" He said, "If you're going to do it to enjoy, then it beats the very purpose." He's saying, till now you're enjoying the world. Now you're looking for enjoyment in spirituality.
Oh my God.
He said, that is the whole mistake. So, and he explained further. He said, see, if you're going to enjoy what you're doing, then tomorrow if you stop enjoying, you'll stop it.
True.
He said, don't do it for the enjoyment. Enjoyment will come. Because the mind will try to relish anything which comes its way, which is pleasant or otherwise. So he said, don't go by the enjoyership or the joy which it is giving you. Do it for the higher purpose.
You're doing the right thing, but for the wrong reason.
For the wrong reason.
And Prem, I'm really tempted to share this view. The moment you said meditation, this was a very funny episode again. It was 1994. We were in Kodaikanal and all seated in one of the sessions. So Swami, the typical leg pulling sessions. So he said, "Kaun meditation karta hai?" So, some of us who were seniors knew that we are in for
it's a trap.
It's a trap. So we said, "Oh God, beware on your toes." But, there were some students who were new, and there was this very enthusiastic boy. He said, he raised his hand, and he was the only one who raised his hand. So Swami was so happy, and others were wondering what's going to happen. So Swami said, "Acha, meditation karta." And Swami said, he built the case very strongly. He said, "What time do you do?" The boy was really genuine. He said, "Swami, I get up early in the morning, 4:30 and do." "Oh, ho, ho, very nice, very nice. How much time do you do?" "Swami, I do for 20 minutes. "Oh, ho, ho." And then Swami said, "See, when you're actually doing meditation, you should not be aware of the time also. How do you know you're doing for 20 minutes? And then there was this big laugh. And then, of course, Swami patted him. But then Swami explained to all of us, he said, truly speaking, if you're really meditating, you will not even be aware of your own self, your body. So the fact that you know 20 minutes means, you think you're meditating, but you're watching the time.
That is the beauty of Swami. He is always raising the bar.
Oh, yes.
I think we've told this many times before, the experience of Mr. Mayur Pandya, one of our ex-students. He was sharing when he was a student in old Vrindavan. They had this flight of stairs through which Swami would come down. And there was a window just next to it. And that was also a chance. All the boys would come and stand next to that window as Swami would pass. And invariably Swami would stop there and, you know, have a small interaction through the window before he comes and, you know, goes for the darshan. So that day all of them, and that window is prime real estate. It will be filled with faces. So it was packed like that, and Swami came that day and stopped there and started staring at his, into his eyes. A very, very cold and stern stare. And he kept, Swami came very close to his face and kept staring at him. And then in a very firm voice, Swami asked, "Mayur, do you love Swami?"
Mm-hmm.
He says, "Do you love me?" And this was a little surprised. He said, "Of course, Swami." He said, "Of course I love you. I mean, what a question to ask." And Swami said, "No, no, no." And then Swami said, "If you really love me, you won't even know that you love me."
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
What a statement.
And Swami walked away.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, thinking of it, we all claim or we all feel to ourselves that we love Swami, but here is Swami always saying that that is love. If you want me to acknowledge your love, that is love for me.
Mm.
And in that sense, you know, there is no difference between love and meditation and what
true,
you do
true.
As sadhana, what you sit down and do, and what you do as I'm doing this for Swami. That's
why Swami always used to keep telling us, he's told this many times, he said, "You claim you're a devotee. Has Swami said you're a devotee?" So he said, "Tum registered post bhejta hai. Acknowledgement has to come." You know, Swami would always say, "Swami should acknowledge. Then you can say you're a veras." All of us say, "I'm a great devotee of Swami. I'm a great devotee of Swami." So Swami always reminded us that, okay, and he was actually, tolerant is not the right word, but you know, he sort of allowed all this to happen in our own, he allowed us to grow at our own pace, patting us for things possibly which never mattered to him. He knew it's not spirituality, and then, you know, he kept doing this so that slowly we would grow and then, you know, realize what really spirituality meant.
Correct.
So should we go to the next clip? And
yeah.
So this will be the fourth clip in that discourse.
జగత్తులో మనం ఆచరించేటువంటి సమస్త కార్యములు కొను మనోతృప్తి నిమిత్తమై చేసేటువంటి యొక్క కర్మలే. ఆల్ ది యాక్షన్ పర్ఫార్మ్డ్ ఇన్ ద వరల్డ్ ఈజ్ మెంట్ టు సాటిస్ఫై యువర్ ఓన్ మైండ్. కనుకనే ఈ మనస్తృప్తి, మనస్తృప్తి అనేటువంటిది ఎంతకాలం చేసినప్పటికీ ఈ మనస్సుకు తృప్తి అనేటువంటిది ఉండదు. ఫర్ ఎనీ లెంగ్త్ ఆఫ్ టైమ్ యు గో ఆన్ ట్రైంగ్ టు సాటిస్ఫై యువర్ ఓన్ మైండ్, యు ఆర్ నాట్ గోయింగ్ టు కంప్లీట్లీ సాటిస్ఫై యువర్ మైండ్. ఈ మనసు అంటే ఏమిటి? వాట్ డూ యూ మీన్ బై మైండ్? మనసే మాయ. మైండ్ ఈజ్ ఇల్యూజన్. మనసే కోరిక. మైండ్ ఈజ్ డిజైర్. మనసే అవిద్య. మైండ్ ఈజ్ ఇగ్నోరెన్స్. మనసే ప్రకృతి. మైండ్ ఈజ్ నేచర్. ఈ మనసే భ్రాంతి. మైండ్ ఈజ్ డెల్యూజన్. కనుక ఈ భ్రాంతిలో నీవు మునిగి భ్రాంతిని పోగొట్టుకొనుక బ్రహ్మను పొందాలనుకుంటే ఇది సాధ్యమవుతుందా?
గెటింగ్ డ్రౌన్డ్ ఇన్ దిస్ డెల్యూజన్. If you want to attain Brahma, how can you achieve it?
Kevalam nee needanu chuchi neeve bhayapadutunnavu.
Looking at your own shadow, you are getting frightened.
Nee bhavamunu chuchi neeve bhayapadutunnavu.
You are frightened at your own feelings.
Kani unnadi okkate.
But truly speaking, there is only one thing which is existing.
Idi ekam sat, adi atma.
That is truth and that is Atma.
Bhagavantudu sat chit ananda swarupudani aneka mandi panditulu varnistaru.
A number of scholars describe God as the very embodiment of sat chit and ananda.
Idi sari ainatunti yokka jawabu kaadu.
This is not a proper description at all.
Sattu taane chittu taane anandamu taane bhagavantudiki ee moodu gunamuluga untunnayani kaani atana ananda swarupudani kaani చెప్పడానికి అది ఆనందమే తాను, సత్తే తాను, చిత్తే తాను.
హీఈస్ ట్రూత్, హీఈస్ అవేర్నెస్, హీఈస్ బ్లిస్.
భగవంతుని కంటే వేరైనటువంటివి కాదు.
దీస్ ఆర్ నాట్ క్వాలిటీస్ విచ్ హీ హాస్, దే ఆర్ నాట్ డిఫరెంట్ ఫ్రమ్ హిమ్.
ఏదో నాకు తెలియనటువంటి యొక్క మహత్తరమైన శక్తి నాకంటే ఒకటి వేరుగా ఉన్నది అని కొంతమంది విశ్వసించి ధ్యానం చేస్తారు.
సమ్ పీపుల్ థింక్ దట్ దేర్ ఇస్ సమ్ పవర్ అదర్ దాన్ దెమ్సెల్వ్స్ which will have to be meditated upon, and they undertake meditation.
Gopyamuga, rahasyanga, edo okati, divyamainatundi shakti, naaku veruga unnadi, danini nenu pondali, aneetundi yokka vishayamto, aneka rakamainatundi yokka deekshalu poonutaru.
Some people take great resolution in order to find out that there is some secret, mysterious power other than themselves which they want to realize.
Idi kevalamu ajnanam yokka cherya.
This is an act of ignorance.
నీకంటే వేరే నిట్టుది ఒకటి ఉన్నది అనుకున్నంత వరకు కూడాను నీవు పూర్తి అజ్ఞానంలో మునిగిన వాడే.
As long as you think that there is some power other than you, you are under ignorance.
నీకంటే మించినటువంటిది మరొకటి లోకంలో లేనే లేదు.
There is nothing greater than you in this world.
అయితే ఉన్నది అని నీవు నిరూపించటము ఇది నీ మనోభ్రాంతి.
But to say that you want to prove that there is something is the delusion of the mind.
ఉన్నదనగా స్వప్నములో మనం అనేక దృశ్యములు అనేక అనుభవములు మనం అనుభవిస్తాం.
వీ గెట్ ఎ నంబర్ ఆఫ్ సైట్స్ అండ్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్సెస్ ఇన్ స్టేట్ ఆఫ్ డ్రీమ్.
ఎంతవరకు నిజం?
హౌ లాంగ్ ఆర్ ద ట్రూత్?
స్వప్నములో ఉండినంత వరకే.
యాజ్ లాంగ్ యాజ్ యు ఆర్ ఇన్ ద డ్రీమ్.
స్వప్నము తీరినా ఇది నిజము కాదు.
వన్స్ యు ఆర్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ డ్రీమ్ దిస్ ఆర్ నాట్ ట్రూ.
నీవు మనోభ్రాంతిలో ఉండినంత వరకు కూడాను ఈ కష్టము, నష్టము, దుఃఖము, విచారము ఇవన్నీ సత్యమే.
యాజ్ లాంగ్ యాజ్ యు ఆర్ ఇన్ ది డెల్యూజన్ ఆఫ్ ద మైండ్, all these things like joy,
మనోభ్రాంతి వీడితివా, ఇదంతా అసత్యం.
కమ్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ది డెల్యూషన్ ఆఫ్ ది మైండ్, దీస్ ఆర్ ఆల్ అంట్రూ.
కనుకనే ఇవన్నీ కూడా మనోభ్రాంతితే కట్టబడినటువంటి యొక్క మిథ్యాలు.
ఆల్ దీస్ ఆర్ బౌండ్ బై ది డెల్యూషన్ ఆఫ్ ది మైండ్ అండ్
ఈ మిథ్యానేను ఆధారం చేసుకుని సత్యానేను విసర్జిస్తున్నాము.
వీఆర్ గివింగ్ అప్ ట్రూత్ హ్యావింగ్ ఫెయిత్ ఇన్ దిస్ మిథ్యా.
దేహమే నేను, దేహమే నేను అనేటువంటి యొక్క ఈ తాదాత్మ భావం లోపల ఈ యొక్క అహంకారం పెంచుకుంటున్నాం.
థింకింగ్ దట్ ఐఎమ్ ద బాడీ, ఐఎమ్ ద బాడీ, యు ఆర్ డెవలపింగ్ ఈగో ఇన్
ఒక్క చిన్న విషయం లోపల మనం అర్థం చేసుకుంటే ఎంతైనా విశాలమైన భావాన్ని మనం పొందవచ్చు.
ఇఫ్ వీ కెన్ అండర్స్టాండ్ దిస్ విత్ రెఫరెన్స్ టు వన్ స్మాల్ థింగ్, వీ కెన్ అండర్స్టాండ్ ఆల్ అదర్ థింగ్స్.
తనకంటే వేరైనటువంటిది ఒకటి జగత్తునందు లేదు.
దెర్ ఇస్ నథింగ్ అదర్ దాన్ వన్ సెల్ఫ్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్.
ఉన్నదంతా ఉన్నదాని యొక్క ప్రతిబింబాలే.
ఆల్ దట్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ ఈజ్ ఓన్లీ ఎ రిఫ్లెక్షన్ ఆఫ్ వాట్ రియల్.
లోక సంబంధమైనటువంటి విషయాలకు కర్త, కర్మ, క్రియ ఈ మూడుకును ఉంటుంటాయి.
ఆల్ ది ఓన్లీ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ హ్యావ్ ఎ సబ్జెక్ట్, ఎన్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్ అండ్ ఎ ప్రిడికేట్.
కానీ ఆత్మ సంబంధమైన విషయముకు, ఆధ్యాత్మిక సంబంధమైన విషయమునందు కర్త తప్ప క్రియ ఇది ఏమాత్రము ఉంటుండదు. కర్మ
బట్ విత్ రెఫరెన్స్ టు ఆత్మ ఆర్ ద స్పిరిచువల్ వరల్డ్ దెర్ ఇస్ నథింగ్, దెర్ ఇస్ ఓన్లీ వన్ డూయర్, కర్త.
చేసేవాడు తానే.
హీఈస్ ద డూయర్.
చేయించేవాడు తానే.
హీఈస్ గెటింగ్ ఇట్ డన్.
చేయింపబడినది తానే.
He is the act which is being done.
ఈ మూడింటి యొక్క ఏకత్వంతో కూడినటువంటి యొక్క ఆత్మతత్వమే సర్వత్రా నిండినటువంటి చైతన్యం.
ఇట్ ఈస్ దిస్ యూనిటీ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ దీస్ త్రీ థింగ్స్ విచ్ ఈస్ ఎగ్జిస్టింగ్ ఇన్ ది ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఆల్ అరౌండ్.
ఈ చైతన్య తత్వము ఒక్క దగ్గర ఉండి మరొక దగ్గర లేకుండా ఉండడానికి వీల్లేదు.
ఇట్ ఈస్ ఇంపాసిబుల్ టు హ్యావ్ ఎ స్టేట్మెంట్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ ఇన్ వన్ ప్లేస్ అండ్ డజన్.
ఈ చైతన్యమునే మూడు భాగములుగా విభజించి సామాన్యమైన లోకానికి సామాన్యమైన మార్గమునందు సంతృప్తి పడే నిమిత్తమై సత్ చిత్ ఆనందము అనేటువంటి పేరు పెడుతూ వచ్చారు.
దిస్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఈస్ డివైడెడ్ ఇన్ టు త్రీ సచ్ అ సత్ చిత్ అండ్ ఆనంద ఫర్ గివింగ్ సాటిస్ఫాక్షన్ టు ది ఓన్లీ పీపుల్.
దాని ఇది దీని యొక్క ప్రతిబింబం అది అని ఈ రకంగా చూపుతూ వచ్చారు వేదాంతులు.
దిస్ ఫిలాసఫర్స్ బిగాన్ ద షోయింగ్ వన్ యాజ్ ద రిఫ్లెక్షన్ ఆఫ్ ది అదర్.
దీని వేదాంతమునందు ఆస్తి, భాతి, ప్రియము అన్నారు.
ఇన్ వేదాంతిక్ పారలన్స్ దిస్ హెస్ బీన్ డిస్క్రైబ్ యాజ్ ఆస్తి, భాతి, ప్రియం.
ఈ మూడు కూడాను ఒక్కటే.
ఆల్ ది త్రీ ఆర్ వన్ అండ్ ది సేమ్.
ఇది ఇక్కడ టంబ్లర్ ఉన్నది, ఇది ఆస్తి, ఇది సత్.
హియర్ ఈస్ ద టంబ్లర్, దిస్ ఈస్ ఆస్తి, దిస్ ఈస్ ట్రూత్.
అయితే చిత్ అంటే ఏమిటి? దానిని గోచరి అది మనం చూస్తున్నాము.
వాట్ డు యు మీన్ బై చిత్?
చూడటమే కాకుండా ఇది టంబ్లర్ అని మనం తెలుసుకున్నాము.
ఐఎమ్ సీయింగ్ దిస్ అండ్ ఐఎమ్ అవేర్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ ఫ్యాక్ట్ దట్ దిస్ టంబ్లర్.
ఇంకా ఆనందం అంటే ఏమిటి? దీనిని మనం అనుభవిస్తున్నాము.
వాట్ డు యు మీన్ బై ఆనంద? ఐఎమ్ ఎంజాయింగ్ ఇట్.
ఈ సత్తు, చిత్తు, ఆనందం మూడైందా ఇది? లేదే ఒక్కటే.
There is only one. Is it really
ee satya unnadi okkate prakashinchedi okkate aanandampacheyinadi okkate.
There is only one, and it is shining as, and that also is one, and it is experience, that is also the same thing.
Kanuka oke dani yendu manam anekamainatundi yokka bramthulu cheta anekatvanga dani anubhavinchi aneka roopanamulu kalpistunnam.
There is only one. By delusion we are experiencing that one as many and feeling that we are experiencing many.
Kanuka ఆత్మతత్వం అనగా ఏకత్వంతో కూడినటువంటి యొక్క దివ్యత్వం అనేటువంటి యొక్క సత్యాన్ని గుర్తించాలి.
Therefore it is necessary to realize, when we say that ఆత్మతత్వ, this is the principle of unity which is underlying everything.
ఈ ఆత్మ అనగా రూపము లేనటువంటిది.
This ఆత్మ does not have form.
ఇది కేవలము అనేక రూపాన్ని కూడా ధరించేటువంటిది.
ఇట్ ఈస్ కేపబుల్ ఆఫ్ టేకింగ్ మెనీ ఫార్మ్స్.
గాలి ఉంది.
హియర్ ఈస్
ఎయిర్. దీనికి ఏమి రూపం?
వాట్ ఫారం డస్ ఎయిర్ హ్యావ్?
రూపము లేనంత మాత్రమే గాలి లేదని ఎవరైనా చెప్పడానికి వీలుందా?
జస్ట్ బికాస్ ఎయిర్ డస్ నాట్ హ్యావ్ ఎ ఫారం, కెన్ యూ సే దట్ దేర్ ఇస్ నో ఎయిర్ అట్ ఆల్?
అయితే ఈ గాలి ఏ ఆకారాన్ని ఆశ్రయిస్తుందో ఆ ఆకారం యొక్క స్వరూపాన్ని పొందుతుంది.
బట్ విచ్ ఎవర్ container this air enters in, that form it gets.
A balloon lo cheripothe adi balloon roopanga dharistundi.
When air enters into balloon it takes the form of
balloon. Football lo cherthe football roopanga pothundi.
When it enters into a football its form is
that. Talakinda pettukuneetundi oka pillow roopamlo poi cherthe pillow ga kanipistundi.
When air enters into a pillow that its form is that of a pillow.
Kani deeniki oka roopam ledu.
But air doesn't have a form.
అయితే గుణము మాత్రం ఉంటుంది.
బట్ ఇట్ హాస్ ఎ క్వాలిటీ.
అదే చైతన్య గుణం.
దాట్ ఈస్ ది క్వాలిటీ ఆఫ్ కాన్షియస్నెస్.
దట్ వాస్ ది క్లిప్. యు జస్ట్ కెనాట్ హెల్ప్ బై బట్ థింకింగ్ ఆఫ్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ ఎస్ ఎ పేషెంట్ వాజ్ lost all memory of yourself and you're sitting you know at the psychiatrist's office and the doctor is trying to remind you who you really are. Because that is what Swami is doing here, you know. He's telling you're not the body, you're not the mind, you're the self, and graphically describing the self, you know, what is the quality of the self. It is formless like the air. And
that's right. Basically even Satchit Ananda, which has been such an accepted, I would say, attribute given to God. He says, it is not an attribute of God, it is God. That's
he's
what.
He's differentiating that. It's a very subtle truth Swami is actually trying to communicate to us. Because if we say that, see, this glass is made of silver, then naturally the feeling that comes to us, oh, there is something called silver, and using that material, now this glass has been made. But actually, the glass is silver.
Glass is silver, that's
right.
It
is that form which it assumes gives us a feeling, oh, there is something called the glass, but truly it's only an imaginary form. If we were to suppose we would melt the glass, we would say it is silver. But when it is made into a glass, we'll say, this is a glass made of silver. So I think that is the difference Swami is pointing out. We are saying God is the embodiment of happiness. So the feeling is, oh, there is something called happiness that has got into a shape, you know, called Swami. Swami is saying, no, that happiness itself is God. That being itself is God. That awareness itself is God. It's not God. So even the English statement, God is the embodiment of, is completely being nullified by Swami here. It's wrong to even use that statement. God is happiness. God is bliss. God is Satchitananda.
In fact, Swami even says that, you know, tattvam asi. Tattvam. Swami has said in some places, stop with tattvam. I mean, Swami said, why tat and tvam? The moment you say this and that, Swami has been, then it becomes like the duality.
Even I've heard so much about Swami talking about this aham brahmasmi.
Right.
I mean, I've heard from students who went to Kodaikanal, one of the sessions, when he said, Swami said, it is chala tappu. I think he has mentioned this even in public discourses. He said, what do you mean by aham brahmasmi? There are two again. So even the Vedantic profound declaration of the Mahavakya, you know, Swami is pointing out, because even that feeling of duality should not be there. There is nothing like I and then I am Brahman. So there are two different things.
That's the
way Swami is driving it again and again into our very inner core that there is only one.
Because I was just, sometime back, I was just a little curious about the title of this discourse, Know Thyself. So I was finding, is there any parallel to this in other cultures and all that? So I just googled Know Thyself. It happens to be the aphorism which is actually engraved in the temple at Delphi.
Okay.
You know, the temple for Apollo, the Greek god Apollo. And that is, it is the aphorism which is inscribed there. Know Thyself. Of course, it's in Latin there. And what followed in that particular article were the many, you know, the interpretations of this Know Thyself. And there were many which said, Know Thyself means it is for those people who are very pompous. And this is a reminder to them that, you know where you are. You know, don't go by what others praise you for. You know, it's a very simple, you know, when we saw this thing and going through the 1990 Samukho series, okay, Know Thyself, you know, okay, Swami is going to talk about the higher self. But even a statement which is so self-explanatory as it appears can be actually misunderstood so much. I think that is what, as an avatar, you know, God comes to do. What has been distorted over the ages,
clarify.
Come and clarify it and set it back to what it is.
Very contemporary examples. You know, Swami uses the example of air pillow and, you know, these are things we are able to associate with so easily, and that makes us understand, oh wow, this is what it's all about. You know, at one point Swami is talking about the shadow. He says, you look at your shadow and then you get deluded that you are the shadow. I remember a very beautiful lesson he taught in one of our class interviews. It was about the mind troubling us. And then Swami gave a wonderful analogy. You know, it took me so long to even understand the profundity of that. And I always keep wondering when I recall that example. He says, suppose you were walking through a, you know, some road in the forest. Now, it's a sunny day. And then your shadow falls on the thorny bushes. Then there is some drainage water flowing. And your shadow falls on that. It goes through all the dirt. He says, does it really matter to you? No, you're clean. You're perfectly fine. But your shadow is going through all the dirt. Why is it you're not getting, you know, perturbed by that? He says, same way. Now just switch the level. Take a higher level. You are the body. Because you think you are the body, you feel all that the body is going through, the mind is going through, is affecting you. But actually, you're beyond it. This mind and the body is like the shadow. So it was such a beautiful analogy, and you keep on thinking about that, it gives you a real a way out of all this.
Correct.
Just like the shadow goes through all that, but the human physical body doesn't experience it. Can we go to a higher level wherein the body and the mind does not affect us? You know, it really is a very nice way, a real escape route which Bhagwan gives us. I know, easier said than done, but there is a way out. And that is what Swami is again mentioning. You think you're the shadow, you're getting caught in it.
And the other tool, you know, apart from exactly what you said, sir, which is repeated here, even Swami is making a mention, which is repeated most of the Upanishads and all, is the idea of impermanence. Because that is a very important tool by which you can actually see what is sat and what is asat, as Swami would say. That is why often that comparison, the dream state and the wakeful state.
Right.
You know, it is very easy for us to discard a dream state because it is fleeting. You know, it comes and goes. And what Swami is saying is, you know, you are in the middle of a dream now. It's just that you have not woken up from the dream. But when you wake up from the dream, you'll have the same feeling you have towards the dream now. To this wakeful state. So that impermanence of whatever you go through. And I think Swami has used this impermanence in various ways. I remember one of my friends sharing this with me. You know, when they had a problem and, you know, he was in the middle of a very big problem and he was wondering how he's going to get out of it. He was depressed most of the time. And in his dream, Swami gives him a message. Swami says, just imagine what will be the state of this problem 2 years from now. And he realized that 2 years from hence, the problem will definitely get solved.
It wouldn't matter at all.
And it wouldn't just matter, it would just be a memory. Maybe an unpleasant memory, but all said and done, it would just be a memory. And the moment that idea came in, he was just completely pulled out of that depression. You know, the same idea of impermanence, Swami is using it for our day-to-day, you know, well-being as well as to give us that final, ultimate understanding, which is to be
talking
understood.
Of dreams. You know, the example Swami has always been giving is that of King Janaka, how he says that once he was asleep, and then in his sleep he becomes very thirsty, and then he's running for water. He goes through the forest. There is no water at all. And that it's relative reality. So the thirst is so real in our dream. I'm sure we all would have experienced that. And then there is no water. He's almost collapsing. And Swami says, suddenly he gets up. And he finds he's in the midst of a grand, luxurious palace where, forget water, all you know, all the eatables and delicious things are around him. So then it's that moment Janaka starts wondering, Adi Nijama, Idi Nijama. He says, is that true or is this true? Many times we also have gone through such experiences, especially when dreams are very vivid and you just get up. Or let's say Swami himself has appeared in our dream and the experience is so strong. You get up and then, my God, is that true or is this true? Is that true or is this true? And then, you know, Swami beautifully concludes. Whenever he gives his example, he concludes beautifully saying, not even that is true, not even this is true, you are true. Right. The one who has actually dreamed this, that you, the I, is the real truth.
That is in fact the message which Janaka gets from his guru.
Yes.
Who is, I think, Vasishta is called to clarify. And he comes and says that neither of it is true, you are true. Exactly. You are the one which is true. And another point which Swami is making here is about fear. He's saying that as long as there is fear, which means there is duality.
True.
I think it's a thing which comes in many Upanishads also, especially Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says that, you know, as long as there is fear, you have not transcended duality.
And you know, he talks of this imaginary fear. I mean, you know, it's most tempting to quote the most profound example that has been quoted in all, you know, forums is about Shankaracharya's analogy of the snake and the rope, which is very popular but worth recalling at this point of time. He says that, you know, when his, let's say, disciples and Shankaracharya were walking at one point of time, it was dusk, and there was a rope that had been sort of fallen on the ground. For a moment, everybody felt it's a snake. I'm sure all of us have gone through such experiences where, you know, on some dark night, something hanging, either we have felt it's a snake or it's a ghost or some sort of feeling. And what Shankara says is, for that moment, until you're not sure what it is, the fear that you experience is as true or is as real as when a real snake is there. So for that moment, the experience is so true, but the moment you take a torchlight and then you shine it on that and suddenly you realize it's a rope, you know, in one split second, that entire imaginary fear and that confusion which was there is all gone. And then Swami, you know, he continues discussing this example. He says, so what came and what went? In fact, it was a rope before also. Even when they were having the fear, it was a rope. And even later when the fear went away, it was a rope. So Swami says, neither did the snake come, nor did the snake go. But what came and went was an illusion. An illusion that thought it was a snake. And then Swami says, in the same way, we think this whole world is different from us. And it's almost like a day-to-day battle. You know, he's going to harm me, and he doesn't like me, and he hates me. And, you know, I can never win over this guy. And all such complexities, forgetting the truth that this is really illusory. And actually speaking, it's not different from me. You know, if we can recall this example again and again and try to live it, perhaps that is what Swami is, you know, mentioning here about the fear aspect, imaginary fear.
You know, whenever I read that quote of Swami, talking of dreams and talking about understanding the unreality of it, you know, Swami says that life is a dream, realize it. Swami doesn't say life is a dream, wake up from it. So he says, life is a dream, realize it. And you know, it's a queer experience. I don't know if you share this experience with me. You know, sometimes when you're in the middle of a dream, maybe a very unpleasant dream, or somebody is chasing you, or you're going through something which is very dangerous, suddenly that understanding comes that this is just a dream.
Even in the dream.
Even in the dream.
Right.
You don't wake up. The dream continues, but you're absolutely light. I mean, you're not worried about what is going to happen to you. You're not scared about what is going to happen to you. And I think that is what Swami says, life is a dream, realize it. You will wake up when the time comes. But if you understand that it's a dream, living through it will be much, much more easier.
Exactly.
And of course, the beautiful way, of course, we spoke about that, Sachit Ananda, and how he could explain it so beautifully with, you know, a tumbler.
Correct. That's a beautiful example.
It's a wonderful way of explaining that.
And also there was one more statement Swami is making. There is nothing other than the self in the universe. When I read that, I again what came to my mind was this example of the Hall of Mirrors. I've heard this analogy somewhere, wherein, there is this man, he's in a Hall of Mirrors, and there is something on his face which he wants to wipe away. So it's just a sort of analogy. So now he goes to each of those mirrors and tries to rub the mark. It doesn't go. And then he can do it with any number of mirrors. But finally all he has to do is rub the mark on his own real face, and then it gets wiped off on all the reflections of his. So it's something like that. We always look outward thinking something else has to be corrected, something else has to be changed. But only when the vision turns inwards, you change it within you, and when the vision, the drishti is correct, the srishti will automatically get corrected.
Quite similar to that beautiful analogy which Swami gives, and I think he gave during one of the Sai Sannidhi interactions with the students, right?
With students, where he says, if a dog goes into the Hall of Mirrors, the difference between a dog, an animal and a man.
Uh-huh.
So if the dog goes into the Hall of Mirrors, it's confused and starts barking, looking at everybody. But if a man goes inside, he sees himself in all the mirrors and he sees himself and is so happy.
Right.
So he says that is the understanding. So from that level of humanness, you should go to divinity.
Excellent.
And realize that you are in everybody, that God is in everybody.
That's true.
So there's another 6-minute clip. Maybe shall we listen to that one?
Yes, sure. I think we should.
ఈ చైతన్య తత్వాన్ని మనం అర్థం చేసుకోవాలంటే ఇది చాలా కష్టం. If you really want to understand this principle of చైతన్య, ఈ చైతన్యం అనేటువంటిది consciousness అన్నారు. This చైతన్య has been described as consciousness. ఈ consciousness ను మనము గుర్తించాలనుకున్నా, అర్థం చేసుకోవాలనుకున్నా, దాని నుంచి ఒక చిన్న భాగమైనటువంటి దాన్ని తీసుకుని కాన్షియన్స్ అనేటువంటి రూపకంగా తయారు చేసుకుంటూ వచ్చాం.
ఇఫ్ యూ వాంట్ టు రికగ్నైజ్ అండ్ అండర్స్టాండ్ దిస్ కాన్షియస్నెస్, ఇట్ హ్యాస్ టు బి రిడ్యూస్ టు కాన్షియన్స్
అనగా విట్నెస్ అని.
దట్ మీన్స్ ఇట్ ఈస్ అ విట్నెస్.
దీనిని అవేర్నెస్ అని.
దిస్ ఆల్సో కాల్డ్ అవేర్నెస్.
సాక్ష్యము అని.
This is also called again witness.
అయితే దీనికి ఒక సాక్ష్యం ఉంది. ఈ సాక్ష్యానికి మరి ఏదైనా ఒకటి ఆధారం కావాలి కదా.
Even for this witness, there must be some basis.
దాని వల్లనే ఈ కాన్షియన్స్ నుంచి కూడా కాన్షియస్ వచ్చేసింది.
From this conscience, conscious has come.
Consciousness, conscience, conscious. ఈ మూడింటి యొక్క తత్వము మూడు గుణములుగా మారిపోతూ వచ్చాయి.
Consciousness, conscience and conscious are the three entities which have got
consciousness anetvanti senses tho koodinatvanti.
Conscious is associated with senses.
Conscience anetvanti manas tho koodinatvanti.
Conscience is associated with mind.
Consciousness anetvanti atma tho cheyinatvanti.
Consciousness is associated with atma.
Ee moodinti yokka tattamulne loka nimittamai, lokacharana nimittamai, లోకజ్ఞాన నిమిత్తమై దీనిని ఈ రకంగా మనం విభజించుకుంటూ వచ్చాం.
దీస్ త్రీ ది డివిజన్ ఆఫ్ దీస్ త్రీ ఈజ్ మెంట్ ఫర్ సేక్
ఉదాహరణ.
దేర్ ఈస్ అ స్మాల్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్.
లోకంలో డాక్టర్స్ కాన్ఫరెన్స్ జరుగుతుంది.
దేర్ వాజ్ ఎ డాక్టర్స్ కాన్ఫరెన్స్ గోయింగ్ ఆన్.
హాల్ అంతా డాక్టర్స్ ఏముంటుంటారు.
దేర్ ఆర్ డాక్టర్స్ ఇన్ ది హాల్.
కానీ డాక్టర్స్ ఒక్కటే పేరు.
బట్ ది వర్డ్ to describe them is doctors.
కానీ ఒక్కొక్క డాక్టర్, ENT డాక్టర్ ఒకటి కావచ్చును, బోన్స్ డాక్టర్ ఒకటి కావచ్చును, బ్లడ్ డాక్టర్ ఒకటి కావచ్చును, ఇంకా అనేక రకములైనటువంటిది విడివిడిగా దాన్ని దేహాన్ని భాగములు చేసి విచారణ చేసేటువంటి వ్యక్తులుగా రూపొందవచ్చు.
దేర్ మే బి డిఫరెంట్ డాక్టర్స్ హూ హావ్ స్పెషలైజ్ ఇన్ డిఫరెంట్ పార్ట్స్ అండ్ లింబ్స్ ఆఫ్ ద బాడీ.
ఒకడు బోన్స్ స్పెషల్ చేస్తుంటాడు.
దెర్ ఇస్ వన్ బోన్ స్పెషలిస్ట్.
ఇంకోటి కిడ్నీ స్పెషల్ చేసి ఉంటాడు. హార్ట్ స్పెషల్ చేసి ఉంటాడు.
There is another who has specialized with reference to kidney.
ఇవన్నీ కూడా నువ్వు ఒక్క దేహంలో ఉండినట్టు దాని విభాగములు చేసి జీవనోపాధి నిమిత్తమై ఒక్కొక్కరు ఒక్కొక్క రకమైనటువంటి దానిని పరిశోధన చేసి ఆ డాక్టర్ ని పేరు పొందారు.
ఈచ్ వన్ హ్యాస్ స్పెషలైజ్డ్ ఇన్ వన్ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ ద బాడీ. ఆల్దో దర్ ఇస్ ఓన్లీ వన్ బాడీ, దిస్ ఈస్ డన్ ఫర్ ద సేక్ ఆఫ్ ఓన్లీ
బెనిఫిట్. అందరూ డాక్టర్స్.
బట్ బేసికలీ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్ ఆర్ డాక్టర్.
అదే విధంగానే అందరూ ఆత్మస్వరూపులే.
In the same way, all of us are.
జీవనోపాధి నిమిత్తమై ఒకడు ఉద్యోగం చేయవచ్చును.
For the sake of making a livelihood, one may
ఇంకోటి కూలి పని చేయవచ్చును.
One may be working in an office, one may be a laborer.
ఇంకోటి వ్యాపారం చేయవచ్చును.
One may carry on business.
ఇంకోటి వ్యవసాయం చేయవచ్చును.
One may undertake cultivation.
ఈ యొక్క జీవనోపాధి నిమిత్తమై నిర్మించుకున్నటువంటి యొక్క వృత్తుల వల్ల ఈ పేర్లు మనం అభివృద్ధి గావించుకుంటూ వచ్చాం. ఈ పేర్లు కేవలం వృత్తులతో వచ్చినటువంటివే కాని శాశ్వతంగా వచ్చినటువంటివి కాదు.
All the names which one has got is based upon the functions which he performs, but it is not a permanent name given to each individual.
అదే విధంగానే ఆత్మ అనేటువంటిది సర్వుల యందు ఒక్కటే ఉండినప్పటికీ ఆయా శరీరం యొక్క అభిమానమును పురస్కరించుకుని ఆ సుఖ దుఃఖములను అందుకుంటున్నారు.
There is only one atma in all the bodies, but depending upon that particular body and the action it performs.
ఒక చిన్న ఉదాహరణ,
ఒక స్మాల్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్.
ఒక ప్లేన్ ఎక్కడో యాక్సిడెంట్ అయిపోయింది.
దేర్ వాజ్ అన్ యాక్సిడెంట్ ఇన్ ఎ పర్టికులర్ ప్లేస్.
ఆ ప్లేన్ లోనే నిజంగా మనవారున్నారంటే ఇంక చెప్పనక్కరలేదు. అనేక రకమైనటువంటి విచారణలకు ప్రయత్నిస్తాం.
ఇఫ్ వన్ కమ్స్ టు నో దట్ హిజ్ ఓన్ పీపుల్ ఆర్ ఇన్ దట్ ప్లేన్ వెన్ ది యాక్సిడెంట్ హస్ టేకన్ ప్లేస్,
నిజంగా ఆ ప్లేన్ లోనే మనవారెవరైనా లేకుండా పోయినప్పుడు ఎట్లా జరిగిందట, ఏమి జరిగిందంట, ఎంతమంది పోయినారట, ఈ ఇన్ఫర్మేషన్ లో మనం ప్రయత్నిస్తాం.
If your people are not there in the plane, then you go on putting a number of questions. How did that accident take place? How many people were there? Only for getting information.
Kalukane, idi naadi aneetvanti yokka bhavam lekapovatam chetane manamanta information lopala pothunnam.
As we do not have the feeling that these are mine, you go in for information.
Andar endu unnatvanti yokka tattam okkate anukunnappudu neevu information lo digavu, transformation lo vastavu.
If you know that there is only one atma which is existing in everyone, you don't get yourself interested in information. You want transformation then.
కనుక ఆత్మ భావము అనేటువంటిది ఏకంగా మనం భావించాలి.
Therefore, we should have that unity.
ఉన్నది ఒకటే, ఒకటే అన్యము లేదు.
There is only one thing and one thing alone.
అయితే
the second thing
ఈ మనస్సు, దేహము ఇవన్నీ ఉండినంత వరకు కూడాను ఈ ఏకత్వాన్ని పొందటము ఇది చాలా కష్టం.
బట్ యాజ్ లాంగ్ యాజ్ యూ హావ్ ఎ మైండ్ అండ్ ఎ బాడీ అండ్ అదర్ థింగ్స్
కష్టము కష్టమని నిరంతరము మనము దీనిని అనుభవించటము ఇది కూడా సహజ కర్తం కాదు.
జస్ట్ బికాస్ ఇట్స్ డిఫికల్ట్ టు ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ ఆత్మ,
కష్టమైనప్పటికీ మన సత్యాన్ని మనం గుర్తించడానికి తగిన కృషి చేయాలి.
ఈవెన్ ఇఫ్ ఇట్ ఇస్ డిఫికల్ట్ వీ షుడ్ మేక్ ఎఫర్ట్స్ అప్రోప్రియేట్ టు రియలైజ్ రియల్ నేచర్.
Is that the end of the discourse or?
No, there's another clip here.
Oh.
So we'll have to take it to next week.
Okay.
So, who is going to take first strike?
You know, the best thing I liked in this, our dear compassionate Lord acknowledged the fact that this is very difficult. And I'm so happy because always as we discussed last time, Swami says, spirituality is so easy. Even to crush a petal of rose, chala kashtam. No, for first time Swami says, I know this is difficult, but still you have to do it. So that gives us a, you know, great relief. That.
Absolutely.
You know, here when Swami is telling about knowing what the truth is, In Hislop's book, he asked Swami, Swami, I know all this. I know that I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, I'm not this buddhi. I know all this. Now, he was talking about information and transformation. He says, so am I a realized soul? I know I'm not this. And Swami says, no, you are not realized. Then he says, why? He says, if you're walking on the road, and if you do not feel the pain of a person sitting on the road,
right,
till the time you feel the pain of the person sitting on the road, you are not realized. So, to live that experience of oneness,
it's not just really required, but at the same time, I feel an intellectual appreciation of this truth does make a lot of difference. And whenever I've introspected on this, I always hit upon the example of a patient. Now, just take the example of a patient. Let's say you're suffering from a strange ailment and he goes from doctor to doctor, you know, so many cities, and finally, nobody's able to diagnose. So he's always got great tension and some sort of restlessness because he does not know what the disease is. And let's say finally after a year's, pursuit and real struggle, let's say he lands up in some real top doctor's clinic and finally a lot of tests are done and let's say the doctor tells him, oh, you have got disease X.
Mm.
You know, the patient feels such a great relief that, my God, finally my disease has been diagnosed, but the problem has not been treated still. The whole treatment is left. We do not even know whether it can be treated or not. But the fact that he knows that not knowing itself causes so much of, tension. To that extent, an intellectual understanding itself, as we are experiencing now, gives us so much joy. Oh, wow, this is the truth. But as Prakash said, ultimately it is the experience of it. When you really start feeling it, that's step two.
Like Swami would, in a very animated way say, you go to the military hotel and say, I want idli, vada, dosa, sambar. You're not going to get it. Yes. And you go to a Brahmin hotel and I say, you want kurma, varma. He says, anityam asukam lokam. You're searching for the wrong thing in the wrong place. So,
talking about this analogy which Swami is giving about different doctors who treat different organs of the, a thing which often I used to wonder about is, if everybody is equal and all are one and there is no difference between you and me and Swami, then what is so special about an avatar? Mm-hmm. Can you have an avatar in our midst and we celebrate it every day, at least in British, we always talk about it. So what is so special about an avatar and us, and if essentially we are all the same? A thing which often comes to my mind as an image is, you look at the human body, if you ask yourself, what is the hair made of? So you would say hair is made of these proteins. And what are these proteins made of? It'll come to the the compounds. And what are these compounds made of? The atoms. And what are they made of? Finally, you will come to it's made of electrons, protons, neutrons, and whatever quarks or whatever they're finding now.
Right.
If you ask yourself, what is the brain made of? What is the brain made of? If you do the same thing, you'll again come to the same electron, proton, neutron. The only thing is, there is a functional difference. And that makes all the difference. You can cut your hair, but you cannot do away with your brain. Though essentially they're all made of the same, components, the building blocks, the functional difference is actually what is giving the difference in our day-to-day life. I think that's what was the difference between us and Swami. Though essentially we are the same, and that's what Swami wanted us to understand all the time, Swami was trying to tell, what we were giving importance to was this functional difference, as Swami is saying that ENT...
And in his own words, cardiac, Swami has always clarified the difference. He says, I know who I am, and you do not know who you are. He knew who he is and he did exactly what he's supposed to do, whereas all of us don't know who we are. And I'm sure we are doing nothing which really contributes so much to the world.
Swami has mentioned this again in his discourse also, where we are talking about diversity. And we say each one adapts to a particular occupation and he does a particular work. He says this about, Brahmanosya Mukamasit, Bahura, Janya Kritaha. In the Vedas, they divided the Brahmanas, Shudras, Vaishyas.
Symbolically.
All are gods. All are part of God. All are forms of God. But their activity was different. So that's essentially what Swami said.
Like the Brahmin was compared to the head part, yes, which is the intellectual part. And then the, what we call as a service sector, the Shudras were compared to the feet. And the Kshatriyas to the arms, which stands for the shoulders, which stands for activity. But eventually they all are constituting the same human body.
Right. And of course the last part of that clip which we played was Swami's talking about how actually attachment is the cause for sorrow. And this, I think, Swami is told in many discourses in different analogies. Swami would say if a death of a family member is actually, the death is what is causing the sorrow, then why isn't the whole street unhappy? Or why isn't the whole street depressed?
Right.
It's only the household which has lost that entity is actually, crying over it. So which means it is not the dying of the person. It's actually the attachment that you have.
In a little different way, Swami has, sort of explained this very beautifully. He says, let's say someone has passed away in the family. He says, until you come to know about it, you don't feel the pain. Now, really, if the incident would have caused the pain, then even without your knowledge, it should happen. So only when that information reaches the senses and the mind does its own chemistry of, acknowledging the fact and then all that brain getting activated, then you start experiencing the pain. So very technically, scientifically also, if you see, it is a reaction of our mind to the event and not the event per se. So that's something which is very profound.
And I think stretching it to the other end, it's not enough if you're the God self. It is in the knowing which is important. And that's why Swami is saying, know thyself. You are divinity, whether you know it or not, but the knowing makes all the difference. As Swami said, I know it, but you don't know it. So I think we are running out of time and we'll conclude this session here. Bishu is waiting here with his special guest. So dear listeners, we conclude this session by offering this program at Bhagwan's Lotus Feet. If you have any comments about what we've discussed here, if you have any suggestions to share with us, and if you have any improvements that you would like to suggest to us, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. On behalf of all of you, I thank Rangarajan sir for again being with us on this show. In a short while from now, Bishu is going to join you with the last segment of the day, Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. We'll meet you again next week at 7:30 p.m. with the next episode of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. Thank you. Jai Sairam.